Good morning, Community Bible Church. I'd like to welcome you all here today. If you would please listen along or feel free to turn in your Bible to Genesis 17. And I'll read that for us now. Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations, a servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my commandment. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, No. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the house of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had told him to. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael, his son. All the men of his household who were bought in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Pray with me this morning as we continue our service. Lord, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for this time that we have throughout this week to set aside and just join together and worship you as a group. Lord, that you have called us your bride, your church. And Lord, we thank you that we can gather in this as a congregation, as a group of believers, as those who seek to be your disciples and seek to be your followers and just worship you today and ascribe value and worth to your name. Lord, as we study the names that you've revealed to us through your word, Lord, help us to understand and know you more and to worship and value you more. Lord, not because what we do changes who you are, but because you want these things from us, Lord, and you want to continue to grow us and want us to continue to understand you and know you more fully. Lord, we pray for Ken as he comes to share the word later today, later this morning, as you would just be working through him to share the things that he's prepared over the previous weeks. Lord, We thank you that you are God, our provider, God, our Savior, and God, the Creator, and God, the Savior of our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just want to worship you this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here with a hard heart this morning, someone who maybe even might have come today, didn't really feel like being here, or someone who does not yet know you as their Savior, Lord, I ask for this morning to be just a special time that you would work in his or her heart. And Lord, that today could be the salvation for anyone who calls on your name. Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth today, and we ask that you would accept our praises today. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Creator and Savior of our souls. Amen.
It's almost a 2-cup measurer. Let me know when this has enough. There was more than enough, wasn't it? El Shaddai is the name of God that I have chosen. The all-sufficient one. The one who is so strong, he's more than enough for you and me. Let's go to this great God in prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that in your word, you have said that you have honored your word above all your name. We pray that we would live honoring you, living lives that show the world that we truly do love you. Be with the words that are spoken, that they not detract from who you are. May every heart here be willing to receive. Beyond that, Lord, make us willing in the day of your power to receive from you all that you desire to give us, for we know you are more than enough for us. Amen. The time was in the 1920s. The new Soviet Union had decided that religion was the opiate of the masses, and they sought to remove that obstacle from growing up into greater humanity. But Cornelius Martins, a Baptist preacher in Russia, differed. So he was arrested with some other believers and was soon taken to the local Communist Party boss. In the office, the boss turned to the guards and said, "Take his clothes off." Martin said, "Don't trouble yourself. I shall undress. I don't fear to die, for I'll be going home to the Lord. If he has decided, my hour hasn't come. You can't touch me. You can't harm me." The boss angrily responded to him, "I will prove that your God will not deliver you out of my hands." And he got his gun. He lifted the revolver to shoot, and his finger froze on the trigger. 3 times he tried to shoot. 3 times he failed. His face was so red and he was quivering, it looked like he was going to have a heart attack. Finally, he put the gun down and asked the people around him, "What is this man condemned for?" They said, "He's a Baptist. Can't you see his God is fighting for him?" There was silence. Martin just started to get dressed and said, "May I go home now?" And the boss said, "Go and never show yourself here again." Another minister, Arensi, same country, same general time frame, went to an anti-religious debate, obviously to be on the opposing side, to defend this great faith. He won the debate, and the crowds applauded him. The next day, his landlady was told to tell him if he ever returned, something terrible was going to happen to him. Whatever may happen, he told the landlady, I will go to the debates and fulfill my duty. The next morning, some Christians found him dead. Evidently, he had been shot while kneeling in prayer. God is in charge. No one can harm a believer unless God allows it. For we know of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Sometimes God in power keeps a believer alive. Other times, in that same power, he allows a believer to die a martyr's death for his glory. Either way, the believer should be willing to serve Jesus, confident that Christ is enough for him or her, whether they live or die. Is God sufficient for you? Is he enough for you? I do need more. As recorded in Genesis 17, the Lord said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Is that not working? I guess we're going without it today. Yes, no, or maybe so. Okay, we'll go without it today. That's fine. This is the first time the word God Almighty, or El Shaddai, is used in the Bible. And that's the word that Abram was told when he met the Lord at that time. The word comes from, it's hard to say exactly, it's similar to the word for mountain. There we go, maybe it'll come on. Being strong, powerful, immovable, like a mountain. There it is. Other people think the name might mean powerful, uncontrollable. That's El, the strong one. What about Shaddai? What's a fuller meaning? Well, when the Jewish scholars were translating, since many of the Jewish people that were scattered throughout the world spoke Greek instead of Hebrew, they had to write something that their own people could read, their own scriptures. They translated the Greek word to mean all-sufficient. 48 times Almighty is used in the Old Testament. And 24 times is a word, S-H-A-D, Shad. But that's always translated breast. So El Shaddai supposedly means all-powerful, sufficient one. As the newborn gets all of its nourishment and all it needs from its mother, we have all we need, all of our sufficiency in El Shaddai, the nourisher of his people. God Almighty, who nourishes and strengthens you. I'd like to speak a little bit about God being all-sufficient, and then what does it mean to us, or for us? Well, first it means God doesn't need you and doesn't need me. He needs no one else but himself. If that makes you feel a little disappointed, I'm sorry, but God was around a lot longer than you and I were, and he did great. He did quite fine. He needs nothing. He lacks nothing. He didn't create us because he had a need. He alone supplies our need, and he supports our life. In him, we live, we move, and have our being. He upholds the world by the word of his power. He spoke, and it was done. He's not like the little child learning to ride the bike, and you know, daddy or mom is holding on to the handlebar, and the kid keeps saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it by myself, please let go. And you let go, and right into the tree the kid goes. Well, some of us, that's the way it was. No, God can do it all by himself, and he never runs into the tree. He's perfect. He's complete. He's happy and satisfied with himself. We can't add anything to him. And despite what the Soviet Union used to think, maybe they still do as Russia, they can't take anything away from God. John Gill, I don't think he's related to our Gills, preacher of long ago England, said, God is in his divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, have enough within themselves to give the utmost delight and satisfaction among themselves and one another. He needs nothing from us. He's self-sufficient. So what's that mean about us? That means our worship, our service, our obedience to God does not enrich him. It blesses him, but it doesn't enrich him, doesn't make him any more than he was before. They benefit us, our sacrifices, our service to him don't benefit God. They benefit us. Can a man be profitable to God as he that is wise may be profitable to himself? Job tells us. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Is it any gain that you make your ways perfect? If you be righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive of your hand? Oh, you're finally righteous. I was waiting for that. Now I can call myself complete. He was complete before we were righteous. And he will be complete when we are living with him forever. And Luke says, so likewise, when you have done all that you are commanded to do, just say we are unprofitable servants. We've only done which was our duty to do. God is self-sufficient, so he always accomplishes his purposes. We read in our passage today, I will make my covenant between you and me. I will multiply you. You shall be the father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, which means exalted father. But your name shall be Abraham, father of many. Father of many nations I've made you. I will establish my covenant. Who will establish it? God says, I will establish it between you and me and your seed after the end of generations. I will give unto you and your seed after you all the land for a possession. And I will be their God. A covenant was an arrangement between, or we have covenants, an arrangement between two people. And God made an arrangement between himself and Abraham. But unlike our covenants, God's arrangement was, Abraham, I will act and you obey. And if you don't obey, my covenant still goes forward. You just don't receive the blessings of that. Unlike a marriage covenant, sadly today, many marriages are not lifelong, and they certainly aren't eternal. No marriage is in heaven. But God's covenants are forever. God's promise doesn't depend on me. You should be very thankful for that. And it doesn't depend upon you. These are my promises, God says, and I will keep them no matter what. But if you want to remain in the covenant, here's what you need to do, Abraham. Well, Abraham had already tried to help God out. In a passage today, we read that Ishmael was 13. So 14 years ago, he'd already tried this to meet God's requirement, and it didn't work. Because he was trying to do it his way. Now God Almighty comes and says, Abraham, let me do it my way. I will do it by myself. And Abraham thought it was such a strange and amazing thing. What did our passage say? He laughs. Already, they already laughed, he and his wife. In fact, Isaac means laughter. Every time they called that kid's name, they remembered that they laughed. Do you ever fuss and fret and fume or feel like you're going round and around and getting nowhere, trying to be good enough. If I mess up, God's not going to bless me. Or, God, you're just going too slow. I know you're going to do this. I need to help out to jumpstart things, get things going. I know the Bible says, fill in the blank, but maybe he really wants me to do this instead. Times have changed, of course. We've got to update things. Or if I don't keep hounding my relatives about the gospel, they'll just never believe. And then they're getting annoyed, and you call it persecution. God calls it impatience. Do I really need to help God out? Now, he's given me things to do for him. But what value or what benefit, put that way, what benefit does my action do to God's plan? He uses me to fulfill it, and if I mess up, he'll use someone else to do it. He's going to do his will. Abraham, you obey. Remember, Ishmael was Abram's idea. Isaac was God's idea. But now Abraham has a problem, or he thinks he does. How can he be assured that God was not only willing to do it, but actually able to do it? After all, it's been 13 years. Well, more than that, it's been almost 25 years. And God still hasn't done what he said, and Abraham knows God's willing. Well, he said, I'm God Almighty. I'm El Shaddai. I'm all sufficient. God is more than enough to do what he says that he will do. Question is, are you going to trust God, or are you going to trust yourself? El Shaddai. God cannot be stopped. Now, is Satan powerful? Certainly he is. Who's more powerful? God cannot be stopped from what he purposes to do. The Most High does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. That's pretty exclusive, N-O-N-E. God might keep that hand from shooting, but we can't keep God's hand from doing. He does whatever he pleases, the scripture says. If it pleases God to do it at a certain time, it will be done. He does whatever he pleases. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. The only thing that determines what God will accomplish and what he won't accomplish is his own will. My counsel shall stand and accomplish my purpose. That's what El Shaddai means. God will only be limited by his own will. If he wants to do it, he will. If he doesn't want to do it, he won't. He's not bound by man's will. My will, there's a lot of things I'd like God to do. He doesn't check with me every morning to find out what he's supposed to do. My will, your will, anybody's will does not determine what God will do. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. All sufficiency means self-sufficiency, independence. He always accomplishes his purpose because he's perfect. Self-sufficient means perfection. There's nothing else he needs to fill himself with. There is a doctrine out there. It was rampant a couple years ago. I'm not into theological things now to know that God keeps changing. God knows everything there is to know, but he can't know the future. But he's got a pretty good guess because we've been around a while. That's not true. He's perfect. He can't learn anything. He can't become anything else than what he is. There's something right there. Therefore, hearken to me, Job is told, you men of understanding, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. Touching the Almighty, there's one of our words, El Shaddai. We can't find him out. He's excellent in power and judgment. God is perfect in his nature. He's perfect in his nature. Did you ever question God? He's perfect in his nature. And positionally, if you're a believer, God treats you as already perfect in Christ. And someday you will actually be perfect in Christ. Abraham is told, after he's told this covenant, from the beginning, I'm God Almighty, you walk before me perfect. God is sufficient in himself. Therefore, he is enough for us. God is sufficient for us. There we go. So we need to have an attitude of reverence. It was a long passage today, but do you remember? Said Abraham fell down on his face. And then he's told some of what the promises are. He fell down on his face in reverence when he knew God Almighty was speaking and telling him something about himself. Now, I can question him very humbly to try to get understanding. Lord, why are you doing this? Have you ever asked that? I trust it was in humility and not argumentatively. But when I don't understand, I still have to adore him. When I feel empty, I still need to express my praise, even if I don't feel like it. Because he's God Almighty. I need to fear and walk before him with reverence. John Piper, I've heard other people quote him, so he must be somebody a lot of us love to read. Whenever God is considered a pal, or God is considered a sidekick, the grandfather, or the old man in the sky, or the religious drug of the uneducated, he cannot be revered. He's not the old man in the sky. A.W. Tozer, early 20th century writer, the spirit of the age, he says, even in the Christian, spawns great thoughts of men and leaves only room for small thoughts of God. The Christian church today, I believe, has been infected by low views of God. That was written about 80 years ago. My times have not changed. The church has surrendered a once lofty concept of God and substituted for one for so low and noble as to be utterly unworthy of thinking. There's nothing new under the sun, I guess. God's more than enough. Have an attitude of reverence. Therefore, if he's enough, he's got enough strength for you to sanctify you and make you holy. Of the 48 occurrences in the Old Testament, 31 of those are found in the book of Job. A man who had a lot of trouble, a lot of trial, a lot of temptation to leave God and just go away. 60% of the times you hear about God Almighty, it's in the book of Job. He lost his wealth. Some of us, that wouldn't be such a great loss. But he lost his health, his children, his friends. His wife turns against him. He lost his theology. God does good to those who do good, and God does evil to those who do evil. And Job knew he was upright, and here he's feeling the pain. So he couldn't even trust his own understanding of God. But he said, shall I curse God? Like his wife says to do. I came in empty. I'm leaving empty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't understand, but you are God Almighty, and I bow before you. The greatest man who ever lived, didn't he do a lot of suffering on this earth? Did not the God-man Jesus Christ have a lot of suffering? Did God abandon him? Yes, he did, on the cross. That was a trick question. No, he did not all of his life. So that's a true answer. And he also abandoned him on the cross for my sake, not for his own sake. The difference is when I never abandon. God's with me. Yes, God was with him. God left him for a short period of time. God never leaves me. By the way, I do appreciate answers from the rope. And that was a correct answer, but it was a setup, too. Because all of us were thinking the same thing. He was bold enough to say it. God didn't deliver Jesus from the cross. So why should God deliver us out of trials just because we want them out? In fact, Paul, quoting the Old Testament, "For your sake, all day long we are being killed and regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Why should I be different?" But he does say, "And all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us." Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. El Shaddai is more than enough strength for you in your trials to keep you holy. You don't have to sin. You don't have to speak nasty to your brother and sister. You don't have to get off on the wrong side of the bed. You don't have to be grumpy to your spouse. You don't have to wonder why your coworkers are giving you a bad day. Remember, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He even asked God three times, the great Paul the Apostle, and was told, "My grace is sufficient for you." There's the word. "For my power," God's power, "is made perfect in weakness." And he said, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Do you believe that Christ is more than enough for you? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. When we think, talk about El Shaddai, the El Shaddai, the Old Testament, God Almighty, is the same God Almighty who came to earth. So he not only understands you by creation, he understands you as a man, as a human. He understands our struggle. Some of us know a song that has part of it. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And anytime this preacher sings, you're allowed to sing along if you know the song. Okay? Why does he understand? Not just because he's God Almighty in heaven, but he is all God Almighty, the man who's been to earth. God can do something about it when he wills. He can help us. He's more than enough. We shake our heads, but I wonder if we could get a little recording device tomorrow morning when you get up and see how well we do. He's sufficient for our sanctification, but also to meet our needs, to satisfy our needs. Mr. George Mueller, a man, I believe it was in the early 1800s, could have been late 1700s. The time isn't important, but he had an orphanage. He had a burden and a ministry to help the street orphans. In England, there was no social services to help those who had no family. And kids would be running around, the street urchins. And he gathered them together and started an orphanage and told a few friends. Some say he never asked anybody for any funds. He told a few friends about it and let them do all the distributing of the information. And there were times when he would gather the kids together for breakfast. And there was no food at all in the kitchen. And this one time he had them all sit around the table and said, "We're going to thank God for the food that he's going to provide for us this morning." And they prayed. And then there was this. "Mr. Mueller, I have a problem. I'm hoping you can help me. My milk horse broke or hurt, it's sprained its leg, and it can't carry the milk cart anymore. I don't want to waste this milk. Do you have a need for some milk today? What do you think he answered? Do you have a need? God supplies it. If it's a need, right? I don't need a huge flat screen TV. He may give it to me, and we received one in the past couple of years without asking for one, right? Isn't huge screen. But that's, God blesses us beyond our need. But we're talking about if it's a true need, you have an absolute confidence. George Mueller knew that somehow those kids who were starving for breakfast were going to have that need met. He didn't pray for the horse to break its leg or hurt its leg, but he knew somehow they were going to get it. And God will supply your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Are you able to believe that he's going to do abundantly? Oh, exceedingly abundantly, above all that you can even think. Nothing is too hard for your God. 40 years, a hungry nation walked around in the wilderness, and God provided food. He caused water to gush out of a rock in a desert. Can he refresh you? He actually caused pairs of shoes to not wear out for 40 years. And they walked thousands of miles. Can he not clothe us? Oh, we have little faith. Can he enable you to pay that bill? To get healthy? Whatever your need is. It's not in my notes, but I can't remember if I've told people this before. But when I needed my kidney, I'm a kidney transplant patient. My father was, too. And I heard when I was 40 that eventually I would need one. And I also knew that the waiting list is very long for one. I was in relatively good health, so I thought I'd eventually get one. How am I going to get that supplied? I didn't want to have to go on dialysis. It wasn't a need that God would have to supply one before. But my father had a man. We both know him. In fact, there's a family history going back, and so he volunteered to give one to my father if they were a good match. They were a good match. But while they were going through that process, a man had died, and my father was able to get one right away. If he had said no to that and it wasn't a close enough match, he wouldn't have had one. So we took the cadaverous one for him. And then my health went down quickly. And within a year, I would need dialysis. That man, young man that helped my father, didn't need to have that kidney go, said, well, Ken, I've already gone through all the psychological, you're supposed to go through psychological batteries so that the person doesn't mourn the loss of the kidney if it didn't work in me, whatever. He said, let's see if it's a match. My father was 5 out of 6. I think there's a scale. The closer you are to 6, the better it is. My father was a 5 to 6 match. I was a 6 to 6 match. And so I had a live donor give me a kidney before I had to go on dialysis. Why was I so concerned to the point of worry? Because I wasn't trusting El Shaddai. He's more than enough. So I have to stop worrying, and so do you. Stop becoming angry. God's enough. The supplier needs. He's also sufficient for the service that you are to do. Now, maybe you're running out of steam because people keep asking you to do it over and over and over and over. People outside the church seem to think you have the name, I want to help you, all written all over you. Right? And if you do it again and again and again. Or in the church, well, I've been coming and painting the walls every year and I'm getting tired of it. Or I just can't share the gospel. What am I going to be able to do? People just turn me off. I keep asking for opportunities. Or I'm not adequate. I'm not sufficient for the job. Listen to what Paul writes under inspiration of the Spirit. We have trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. He's a sufficient God. He knows you better than yourselves. When your parents don't understand you, He understands you more than you understand yourself. When you live with unbearable pain, He knows what it's like. When your husband neglects you, you can find your nourishment in Jesus Christ. We can keep going because the sufficiency isn't in ourselves. If I look to myself, the answer is no. If I look to God, the answer is yes. I can't say it's my favorite part of the sermon, but I do need to remember this, that we have a sufficient Savior. Christ, in the Scriptures, it is written, first person, God is speaking, Isaiah is writing it. I looked, but there was no one to help. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me. And my own fury sustained me. He's a sufficient Savior for those of us who believe. He's a sufficient Savior. Abraham's a great lesson. At the end of the passage, it said, that very same day, Abraham took his family and performed the circumcision that was necessary. He did it immediately. And he did it completely. It's not a fun operation. We're not going to go into detail, but it's very painful and can leave you vulnerable to outside attack from other people because you don't have the strength you would need to fight off the enemy. But we don't read him saying, well, Lord, it's getting pretty late. And can't do everybody today. We got to make sure we have our protection, so we'll start it by the end of the week. Everything will be done. Immediately, the very same day, it was speedy obedience. How speedy is my obedience? How speedy is yours? You are my portion, O Lord. I said that I would keep your words. I made haste. I did not delay to keep your commandments. The psalmist says. So the child is told, Junior, please take out the trash. An hour later, Mom sees that the trash can is still there. And in our family, the dog likes to get into it. So it sometimes needs to be taken out when it's told. Oh, I'll get to it. Quit bugging me, Mom. No. Obedience is, Mom, may I finish this first before I do this? She says, yes. Great. She says, no. Great. With the good attitude, you get up and you take the trash out right away. Do you ever put off to tomorrow what you know you should do today? Maybe it seems so hard and that's why you don't want to do it. Don't put off to tomorrow what God calls you to do today. There's a reason He wants you to do it today. And completely, we need to do it completely. Sometimes we might respond, maybe God wants me to be generous with my time. But I don't want to give all my time to that project, just a little bit. Or I'll give, but I don't want to give the whole amount I believe the Lord is laying on my heart because I know there's a bill coming up. Or I can use some of my skills for the Lord this week, but not all of them. The right way to respond is immediate and completely. How much did Christ give of Himself for you and me? Christ is sufficient for unbelievers as well as believers. The Lord God said through Moses, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. Abraham was to circumcise in the flesh. The Lord will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants that you may love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. And you may be here and you don't love God with all your heart and your soul to live. And you don't care. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Tomorrow you woke up and suddenly you started caring. That's the Lord performing his spiritual circumcision on your heart. He's powerful enough to save everyone who comes to him. God is not weak. If he's after you, in fact, this week, he'll get you. And he'll get you the day and the time he wants to. So better save yourself a lot of headache and do it willingly right away than to have to go through a couple of, or for me, being beat over the head with a 2x4 to get my attention. God will see to it that you get the attention or get the attention given to God. Do it today and make it easier on yourself. And I know many, all of us probably have experienced really difficult blows in life. You know, it's green grass one day, and now it's brown. It's a garden one day, and now it's a desert in your soul. God hasn't rejected you. Maybe he's doing that very thing to get you to remember that he is all sufficient. Some escape, alcohol, drugs. Let's make it a little more general. Work, family, friends, sports, leisure time, my retirement to come. Whatever it is can absorb us so that we feel that ache, seek to have our need met. But Christ is El Shaddai. He's the one who's more than enough to meet that need in our heart. He is the mediator of a better covenant. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, says, my grace is sufficient for you. El Shaddai, all-powerful, all-sufficient God who can do anything in his nature and meet any need that you have. Doesn't matter if you're too old, you're not too old. If you're too tired, you're not too tired. You're too beat up. There was a little joking going on in the office. It's amazing that the songs in this little thing I met. I won't say who the people were. We don't want to incriminate anybody, but said something. Someone was asking, said something about a little bit of help, and he said, "Well, I don't help the trash." And another person said, "I'm glad God didn't do that. I'd still be on the trash heap. Wouldn't you?" But he was sufficient. He doesn't like garbage, but he sees past the garbage and sees the precious jewel that all his people become. When you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. You need some time to come up and meditate after the service. There's space here. If you want someone to pray with you, there'll be people here. If you want to be praying privately, there's rooms on the side. Grab somebody that's up here to pray with you if you'd like that. But God is sufficient for the believer and the unbeliever. It may be a little unorthodox. I didn't bring the guitar, but am I allowed to sing a song in closing? All right. I'm not sure if it's a song that was done publicly or if it was done by someone. I learned this when I was at a Christian school in Pennsylvania, and people there knew a lot of people who wrote songs. So I don't know if it's one that's out there. If it is, you can certainly sing along with me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. My grace is sufficient, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, as we go, may we remember. And we are going to fail, just as Abraham failed, Lord. We thank you that the great, all-sufficient one, El Shaddai, the Lord Jesus Christ, has enough power and love to forgive us all of our sin. But we pray this week, we will remember, whether it's for service, for special need, for sanctifying grace, or for salvation, that you are more than enough for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless your word this week as you have promised. Amen.